What's up, Fool Podcast? What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast. Everybody who's listening to us on Monday morning the next week or listening to us live right now on Wednesday at 12:15 here on Wednesday.
Monday
on
morning.
YouTube. I don't know. Some people listen the next week.
Oh, yeah, I guess
yeah.
So.
Hey, now.
To the guy that does whoever does the promotion here, they post a poll on Monday anyways.
Well, so. They do a second push.
Rodrigo Torres right here, man. What's up, boo?
What's up, dog?
Lisa right here, man. We got matching suits. Our guest is here. Zainab Johnson.
Hi.
From Last Comic Standing.
Hello.
We also had the homie that was here. Remember that food that does puppets?
Is Karim?
No, bro. We had a comedian here, the white comedian. He started the puppet. Don't give him no blood.
Oh, Jimmy Schubert.
Jimmy Schubert. Oh. Yeah, they were together.
Yeah, Jimmy Schubert does puppets.
Yo, shit, you
magic.
Didn't know?
Magic.
No.
He broke down on our podcast and magic, he told us. Yeah. He does magic.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He said
he started as a kid, yeah.
We were talking about performing when he was a little kid, like. Is that with a cop?
I was living in Philly. I had to support my family.
Yeah,
so. I was living in Philly.
Good. I'm talking
hey.
About, I'll make this straw disappear.
Hey, Zayn, that happens a lot, how you hang out with somebody a whole week. You pick a little bit of their nuance for 3 days.
Yeah.
But tell me when I leave the club, everybody's saying, what's up, fool, for a week, bro?
Where'd you go, fool?
I think when Fluffy leaves the room, everybody's fucking eating more, bro.
I did a club in San Antonio. No, El Paso.
The comic strip?
Comic strip Bart in Reed's? El Paso, yes. And they just kept talking. Do you know Felipe? Do you know Felipe? Do you know Felipe? We took Felipe to this vegan restaurant. We did this with Felipe. I'm like, okay.
And the green room sucks at that place.
Huh? Yeah,
we were sitting there
terrible.
Chilling and then the tile like fell on them, like a piece of it. Just
I was there, I think, in the summer, and they have that. God. They have that
fan.
Yeah, but they had like they brought in like a air conditioning, like a big thing, but it wasn't
didn't work.
Doing,
no. Same thing happened to us the next day.
Yeah,
asbestos I mean, the, in the air, huh?
The owner and the staff, they were great. You know, they were nice to me, but it is.
It was hot, dude. That one time was 100 degrees outside, and they were there by the ice machine because the ice machine gets hot too. It was pretty hot.
Oh, my God. We were in there just mugged out to hell.
The ice machine is in the green room?
It's next to the door.
You have to actually walk through, like, the stock cabinet to get
liquor,
to the green room. Yeah.
But if you're an alcoholic, you know, if you like drinking beer, you're welcome to grab a beer, huh?
No, it's all locked up, though.
Oh.
Yeah. But all the heat from the ice machine comes in the green room.
In the green room, yeah. Which is smaller than this table.
Yeah. I started off at that club when they used to be at some other place, like across the street, like in the west side. Like they had a condo. We used to walk down the hill just do the show. And they had a restaurant there. They have food named after comedians.
Mm.
Man, but the guys that cooked the food, they look like the cooks from Las Vegas Vacation. Remember when they sent them to that horrible buffet, the ghetto buffet?
Don't get cheap
on me. And it's all gooey and stuff, ugh. Like blue chicken. Don't get cheap on me now. Yeah, man. So what's up, fool?
Nothing. I watched those movies except
it was your birthday just passed, bro.
Yeah, the 12th.
The 12th?
Happy belated.
January.
We got you a late birthday present, bro. I did. Late, like the motherfucker still has it.
I didn't even nag him. I was like, whatever, he'll do it.
Late, like the motherfucker still has it in the market bag. Eh?
It's like almost 12th. A month after.
It's all good.
You can open it, eh?
This fool was asking me what size shoe I was for like 3 weeks. He's gonna give me a pair of shoes.
It'll match you. You can wear a suit next time.
Wait, though. Did y'all go to the Adidas store or something?
He had that for Christmas.
They don't have the white stripe. I know you like.
But
all
I put
black.
Mine on first
yeah,
today.
I like black. Thank you very much. Dude.
There's a shirt in there too.
Thank you very much.
So it's just a pride away.
I really appreciate it. You can see size 12. Give me a pair.
People gonna start saying, "Man, what's with those cleats?"
I like them. Though,
oh, fool!
People are making fun of these shoes. I think they're comfortable, dude.
That one already stretched it out, bro. So you can wear it.
What size is it though?
But it's tight, dog.
It's tight though.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh. I don't know if you had that one, but you still
turn it around. Turn it around.
Yeah, so. Oh, there's something in the back?
No so that they can see it.
Oh, oh, oh. I was like,
that's for that movie thing when he's with Bill Cosby and they're in a baseball team.
You know what's funny?
Oh, I thought that was from Boston.
I love that movie.
I was going to get you a Richard Pryor shirt from the website, but then I made you that other shirt because I thought it would be funnier.
Which one?
Well, the one with Big Dog.
Oh, that's just yeah, Family Dog.
Where is
you're
that?
The only one that has it, though.
We have a mutual friend here named Big Dog, which is we tried his name after the show by them. One time he got drunk at his house, and he was showing us everything. Like, hey, bro, this is my Tonight Show set. My first Tonight Show. He's got 10 Tonight Show sets. So that's 40 minutes of videos. And we found his photo of him when he was little. But he's, like, ashamed of it because I guess he wears contacts now and whatever. So this fool printed it on a shirt, and it says...
What he says to a lot of comedians, challenge yourself.
Challenge yourself, bro. But if we were to wear that shit, it'll probably break his heart. But we're thinking of doing a live podcast one day at some comedy club.
Somewhere.
And invite all our guests and have our favorite guests on the show.
Invite the listeners.
The listeners. Yeah. And we'll do stand up, you know. We'll probably cut off the tape for the stand up. You know, and we'll pay the comedian to do stand-up like we did last time. And then when we have him be our big guest, dog, on the podcast.
You think he'll do it?
He'll do it. Right. And when he shows up, everybody go.
Don't. What?
No, during while everybody's having a good time on the podcast, talking about how, you know, because they're going to love him. If he's honest, they're going to love this dude. And then everybody just go, now. Everybody takes off the shirt and we're wearing that T-shirt.
That'll be funny.
That'll be a nice surprise.
I think it'll be good, the fact that a lot of people don't know him like we do him and can ask him the questions in the right way. Opposed
some
to
people
like,
need that, though.
Like
older comics like who are like...
Whatever.
People say, oh, I haven't seen him in shit, right? But they're out there working, you know. They're out there headlining Paul Rodriguez, all those older fools.
In the trenches.
But like if Paul Rodriguez would do a good podcast, like every time he does this podcast, people follow him.
Oh, yeah.
We got 78,000 listeners, bro.
Hell yeah.
78,000 now. Plus, how many fools are talking shit right now? Look.
Nobody's talking shit yet.
All right. Nah, I don't care if people talk shit. It's all good.
Wait, I was going to ask you. You ever heard that saying? They say if you give a person shoes as a gift, they're going to walk all over you. No. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Like, no.
You just coined that phrase?
No. That's like a thing.
In what country, though?
Here, maybe it's a black thing. Maybe it's like a southern black thing. But I've heard you've never heard that.
No, never heard that. But
somebody comment.
Who's here from Atlanta?
I heard a lot of I don't know other things.
Now you tell me. Like,
where are you from?
But where I'm first.
Oh, that's a hood say. I'm from New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sweet.
Harlem.
13.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zane M. Johnson. One more time, man. Where you from, man?
I'm from New York. I was born in Brooklyn. I grew up in Harlem.
Brooklyn, like Brooklyn now or Brooklyn back when it was hoodie?
Brooklyn in the 80s.
Whoa.
Brooklyn in the mid-80s.
But a lot of good shit came out of those times too, though.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved to Harlem, there were still like crack vials and stuff in the street. And then as I grew up in Harlem, I watched the change happen. Like I watched it go from like a lot of abandoned buildings to like all the lots being filled up, the buildings being built up to, you know, people who look different from us moving into the neighborhood. Like I watched it all happen.
I remember watching like in movies, like when they showed like the Denzel Washington in that movie Malcolm X, or they show the Warriors, and they'll show Brooklyn. Was it really that bad where like it was just one big giant building with nobody there, and then another one with nobody there, I see photos.
That was a lot of New York.
I see photos like that, bro. Like it looked like somebody dropped a bomb.
Yeah, there were shelled out buildings.
But I mean, Malcolm X in the 60s, right? Yeah, that's in the 60s. So I didn't see that, but I did see abandoned.
I think in the 80s is when like the slumlords were starting to like abandon their buildings and then take insurance money.
I remember when I was a kid. I remember when I was a really young kid. The mayor, Mayor Dinkins. He allowed people in New York to buy all of those abandoned buildings for $1. And a lot of people, my dad even bought one, but then the kicker was the taxes on it and you had to bring it up to living code in a year. And most people didn't have the money exactly to do that. So it's like a bunch of people bought it for a dollar and then just lost it.
That's a good scam.
Nice gesture, huh?
I think it was a scam.
But it's good, a dollar?
I think it's built. I think that's like built for like developers that are like have experience, not like the regular person.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know about building codes when you shell out that one buck, and then you find out everything. Go, goddamn, overwhelming.
Yeah. Impossible. And then before you even get a building code, it's like just the money to like lay brick by brick. It's expensive.
So you guys didn't get the building?
We didn't get the building, but my dad, when I moved to Harlem, we moved into a tenement building. And my dad turned the tenement building into a co-op building. We bought our apartment and then my parents sold it for much more than what they paid for it. Nice. So he figured it out eventually. Nice.
That's a game, man.
When I was doing those shows with Finesse Mitchell at this Army base right there in Brooklyn, Bay Ridge. Guy that was running everything, like he was the guy that was in charge of us, took us out to eat, got us weed. No, but anyways, that dude, we went to his rooftop and we saw the bridge, like the Bay Ridge right there. But he said that they owned their apartment, like his mom bought it. Back in the days.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how much the apartment was worth. Bro, my fucking apartment was shitty, dog. Well, if, you know, I'm used to living in L.A., dog, with a window. You get to walk out.
Yeah, but that's prime real estate now, man.
But he had two bedrooms, a big-ass kitchen, and one and a half bathroom.
But, I mean, you think about it. Even owning something like that, all you have to do is update it. Mm-hmm. And an update is only a shell remodeling. It's not really going deep and you know. And you could flip that apartment for, like, triple the price. The apartments that were $900 20 years ago in New York can go for $10,000 a month. And some people pay it.
Hell yeah, dude. That's where, like, normal people don't have a chance.
Yeah, it's like everybody's being priced out. I think that, for me, it's like I personally love seeing, like, growth in a neighborhood. But it sucks because the people who built that very neighborhood, you price them out, you know? And that happens everywhere. That's not just in New York. That's happening in L.A. Yeah. It's happening in Detroit. It's happening in a lot of cities across the country. Mm-hmm.
People in Fresno are getting mad because they're getting priced out of two bedrooms for $1,200.
It's true. We were just over there.
Yeah. You were watching the news?
Yeah.
They were talking about how much the rent's going up, and they show these condos being built right there where, bro, it used to be shitty there, bro.
$250 a month?
Downtown Fresno, bro, by the casino there. And $1,200 for one bedroom is a lot of money over there now.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, when I'm not that, informed on like poverty levels and things like that, but there are a lot of people in the United States that are literally living off of $10,000 a year.
Like comedians, though.
But at least comedians have a couch to stay on, you know?
But that was me, man.
There's people living off of $10,000 trying to raise children, you know, and... pricing, they can't afford to spend more than a certain amount on rent.
I tripped out when the teacher strike. They said there was 20,000 homeless children in the LA school system.
Yeah.
One in four.
Wow.
Yeah.
There were homeless kids that we knew were homeless. I mean, I knew which one of these kids in Isaac's class were homeless. And it was sad because, like, their parents would show up and they basically had everything on their backs. So everything. And they'd go to shelter and do homework after school and... it's sad.
I was homeless for a little while when we were in Brooklyn. And it is, I don't know. I think that's the, like, beauty in being a kid. You know, you don't, like, I remember hating not having, like, a place to live. Although my mom has a lot of kids. And so we were in a women's shelter. And the thing about, there's no family shelters. There's always women's shelters. Yeah. And so that
means...
one
here that we support, Cesar Chavez one. Over there in
LA. That means that if it's a full family, meaning a mother, father, and children, that means the father has to go wherever he is going, and then the mother and the children can stay. But I remember my greatest memory from that, two things from the shelter. I climbed on a metal bookshelf. And it came down on me. And my mom kept telling me, don't climb on that bookshelf. Don't climb on that bookshelf. And as soon as nobody was watching me, I climbed on that damn bookshelf. And the bookshelf just came down on me. And I guess I didn't get hurt. And then the blankets that we had in the shelter were those wool blankets that sometimes they have, like, as the in-between blanket in hotels.
The ones they have in the nurse's office.
Yeah, so whenever I see those blankets, I'm like, get them blankets out of here.
Like burlap?
Yeah.
Those blankets, you want to wet them, they're done. You don't dry those up, but they become rugs.
They'll be like stiff.
Yeah,
you come over here, like a family, pack. Right? Like 13?
Yeah.
You're the oldest?
No. I'm the fifth from the top.
Muslim family, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
13, man. And I thought we were a lot. You're seven. We were seven.
Yeah.
With both parents. Yeah. How many in your family?
Four.
Was there? four. Where but it's still a lot, though, right? If your dad thought it was a lot, right?
Yeah. Now they now it's like one's a lot. Yeah.
You come home a dad where the dad was, your dad was hardcore. Like he'll leave every payday and not come back.
No, no, my dad was home every day for dinner time.
What? Yeah. Leave every payday and not come back? Wait, yeah, what?
We had dinner with my dad every day.
You think that's normal?
What? I have to go with normal?
No, I know.
That's what dad would do. What?
Was your dad like all the other dads who leave on
everybody
payday?
Everybody in my neighborhood, like, every payday, they'll get all dressed up and they'll be gone.
Well, there was a friend of ours, like Armando Cusillo.
Our parents... Remember that movie with Denzel Washington where he got paid and took off?
Mo' Better Blues?
Where that girl's crying with a bubble.
Oh, by all the defenses.
Fences. See the way Denzel Washington was living his life where he just worked.
Yeah.
And then he did whatever the fuck he wanted.
He expected to be not bothered.
Everybody in my neighborhood acted
house.
Like him.
Yeah.
They had a job?
They had a job. It was mean, bro.
We always have to go with them, like, you know, pick up nails, something. Always something.
No, but you said that his dad would take off?
No. Well, what I was talking about is what Gloria was telling me about Mondo's father. He would they would get paid every 15 days. Mm-hmm. So they would come home. There was two families living in one big house, and the two men were brothers. They would come home. They would get ready. They would already cash their checks. They'd give the mom $100, and they wouldn't return. They'll leave Friday night and come back all messed up very early Monday morning or very late Sunday night. And that would happen every 15 days.
Did the $100 cover all the bills?
I don't know if it did or not, but they would party with the other 500. You know,
they were skinny back then.
But they would party. And then my homie the Mouse, his sister's husband, the dad, he'll get paid weekly, and he would take off, and they would actually go and find him and TJ all like laid out, or just like all or in LA. Like there was three spots where they were from where they would find the dad and no money. Like, you just, like, booze it all and party it all.
My parents never drank. We grew up in, like, a strict Muslim house, so they never drank.
Smoked.
My mom smoked cigarettes, except when she was pregnant and breastfeeding, which I didn't understand.
Which was all the time.
Exactly.
13.
That one time where there was, like, a three-year gap between the kids, I know she was in heaven. But so I never, like, my dad, we always had, like, activities. We always did, like, family trips, and I don't know, we were always just a unit. I think that's why now I'm such a loner. Because now I'm just like, don't attach to me. Don't get away from me. Get away from me.
Only original participants.
Yeah.
Wow, 13 people. Do you ever put that in your act?
Yeah, all the time I talk. I was going to say it's not the only thing I talk about, but I talk about it often.
When did you start doing stand-up? When did you say, you know, what made you become a comedian? Like, I know it happened to me.
what happened to you?
Rodrigo too, man. Rodrigo watching. What were you watching, Rodrigo?
I would always watch late night.
Def Jam.
Okay. Jeff Jam.
Okay.
That shit blew me away the first time I saw Def Jam.
I was just like, I couldn't believe how funny they were.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Martin Lawrence. Yeah. First one.
I didn't see Def Jam until a little bit later.
Or the little comic parts on the Spike Lee movie. That one. I'm living in a fucking hovel. Do the right thing. Robin Harris is all talking shit. Cutting on that. Look at all cheap bad little ass shoes. Like those little comic parts were funny.
Yeah,
and finding out those dudes were comedians.
Yeah. I didn't. I mean, I saw things when I was like younger. Like I might have, when you know, maybe 10 years or so after they came out, I saw Raw. And I thought it was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Here.
And then somebody was like, you got to see Delirious. That's the first part. And I was like, okay. And I watched it. And I was like, that's not as funny as Raw to me. But it made the jokes in Raw more funnier because it was like a continuation. But I started doing stand-up August 2010. And I don't know. The day I did it was the day that I thought about it. I never thought about it before then, ever. I wish I had a better story. I wish that it was something that was in my heart for like years. But the day that it hit me, it hit me strong, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
Me, I didn't get to hang out, you know, like at a comedy club for a long time. I just looked on the LA Weekly and I saw open mic.
Mm.
And I went over there and I signed up and I did it. I didn't even know if I bombed.
I did I did my first open mic at a hookah lounge, and it was right near my house.
Hookah lounge.
Like a Middle Eastern hookah lounge in North Hollywood. And I was like, it's going to go bad. So it's like, I saw it on, Google, and it was like, first come, first serve, 5 minutes, you know? And I just went and I was like, okay, this is close to my house. So when it goes bad, I could just go upstairs and nobody will know that this happened. And then I did it, and it didn't go that bad. And one of the first things I said was that I was one of 13, and that made everybody in the place go, "What? Wait, what?"
She's a sureña, eh?
And then I was like, and then when they looked at me, I was like, from the same mother and father. And then they were like, and I just realized, like, oh, that's a thing for people. Like, I didn't, you know how, like, your regular life, you don't realize how people are going to be affected by it. And so that's where I started.
I know 13 is a lot, right?
The grip.
Nowadays, Baker's bro,
like,
the
next generation, you know, like, you have to, how many kids? You have 5, and they're all from different people. But, like, my family is 7. Like, I have 3 kids. They're from different ladies. How about you, Rodrigo?
I don't have any children yet.
You want any?
Eventually, you know.
Like, was I like going up to school? I hope I have a baby now. But
were those dudes talking like that when you were a little kid? Like, I want my family. I want a house.
A lot of the people I went to high school with were like,
I want to leave every 2 weeks.
Where are you from? Roger
Riverside, California, about 50 miles east of here.
Yeah.
But a lot of my friends were like, I want to start a family. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to, you know what I mean? The ones that didn't go to college.
How about you?
Most of them did that.
But a college girl.
Yeah, I went to college. I graduated from college. And I do want children.
What college?
City College in New York.
Well, you graduated too, right? You?
Yeah, California State University.
I went to Baruch for grad school.
Did you? Yeah. Nice, nice. I like Baruch. Baruch has a good law program. Yeah. Did you study law?
No.
Okay.
I got my MBA there.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
What were you saying?
What?
It's
like I went to continuation.
Night school.
It's all right. I work for you now, so.
So I was thinking about.
There you go.
Right.
What I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
About.
Did you have any gigs last weekend during the rain?
Wait, what? Sorry.
Last weekend during the horrible rain. Did you have to drive anywhere for a gig?
We got stuck.
How did you go?
Oh, y'all got stuck?
We got out.
Oh, wait. I did have to drive somewhere. I drove to Santa Barbara to do a show.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
You took the 101.
I took the 101, yeah. Yeah.
We had a show in, I forgot.
Visalia.
Thank you, everybody who showed up to the show, man. Thank you very much.
Both shows sold out that weekend.
I was surprised about the other show.
Visalia, we knew it was sold out. It was a week before.
It was fucking raining all the way home.
Yeah. Crazy rain.
No, but you know what? That's a good thing. It's like people can't be out. They don't want to be in a house. Like they seen enough of each other.
Yeah, they get cabin fever.
Yeah.
Because it's been raining for like 2 weeks. Like
comedy club is great. Yeah. Bad weather. I'm from New York. When I do comedy in New York, the winter is the best. It's like bad weather. Everybody is packed into the comedy clubs.
So how did you get Last Comic Standing? Like, did you audition? An agent hooked you up and you started lying?
No, I didn't have an agent when I did Last Comic Standing. I auditioned. Why did I audition?
Were you part of the whole cattle call group of people, like the large group?
No.
Or you had an appointment?
I had an appointment.
Okay. That's true.
Okay,
me too.
That's good.
So I did this show. A little while before that, I had showcased I did a show with Kevin Hart, and I was showcasing for Dave Becky at the time. And the guy who hosted the show was a writer on one of Wanda's shows that she was taping in like Chicago or something like that. And when I finished my set, he was like, you should be on the show that I'm doing with Wanda. You should be on the show. And I was like, oh, okay, well, thank you. And then time passed, and I never heard anything.
Yeah.
And he had emailed me maybe a couple of months after that, like, hey, I just wanted to send you the email just so you know that I did put in a good word. We just already had the comics book,
sweet,
you know, whatever. And so then I had auditioned. I did a cattle sort of call audition for the Stand Up for Diversity at NBC. And
here
I did
in L.A. or somewhere far?
San Diego.
Okay.
San Diego.
Archer Rizzo and Flacco went to that one.
Johnny as well.
Yeah, and I did the semifinal. I did the semifinals. And I felt like I killed. Here's why I feel like I killed. Beyond just me killing, but beyond me having a strong 7 minutes, I went on after Drew. You guys know Drew, who has the stutter?
Cerebral palsy.
No.
Stutter. I know one.
He was on American. He's on
Flappers, right?
Yeah,
the guy from Flappers. Yeah.
So he has
looks
this,
Russian or something like that. Yeah. Like looks like a little Russian guy, but he's not Russian.
Yeah, no, he's just like a little white kid, guy, you know, and little, like literally in height, little. Mm-hmm. But I think he got his big break now on America's Got Talent because, like, you know. Anywho, he's a guy with something tragic happened to him in his life, and it caused a stutter, right? And so not only is his material funny, but he got a stutter. So it brought the house down. And then I go up right after him. The host didn't dust it off a bit. Nothing. Just brought me right up. And I still crushed.
You went up there with just chop your legs off.
And I still, with no disabilities, I still destroyed. And I was like, I'm sure I'm going to the final. Like, I'm sure I'm doing the finals in L.A., like showcasing, right? And I didn't get it. And I, you know how when you don't get, I don't know. Yeah. You guys tell me if you feel this way. When you don't get something, yeah. You got to go watch who got it, right? I was like, let me see who they thought was better than me.
Great job.
So I'm sitting there and it was not I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. It was a pretty weak showcase that year. And I think that the person running it, just her, it wasn't like what she was looking, the way she made her decisions wasn't in the best interest of like, oh, I'm trying to showcase talent that can't, you get what I'm saying? It wasn't in the best
showcase
interest of that.
Adversity.
In my opinion. Exactly. In my opinion. So I leave the show. I'm waiting at the front of the improv for my friend's car to come around because he valeted. I would never valet. I'll look 27 minutes for parking.
Welcome to the club.
So we're waiting for his valet, and then I hear somebody say behind me, "Zainab, did you go on?" And I turn around. It was Wanda Sykes. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't go on. She was like, oh, okay, I'm good because I would have been upset if I missed you. And I was like, okay. And then my friend looks at me. He's like, I didn't know you knew Wanda Sykes. I was like, I do not know Wanda Sykes. But just go with it. And then after that, I had got an invitation to audition for Last Comic Standing. I had an appointment and I auditioned.
That's great.
Who did you follow on that show? You remember?
I don't remember who I followed.
Who were the judges?
The judges were Russell Peters, uh-huh. Keenan Ivory Wayans, and Roseanne Barr. But what I do remember, although it didn't air this way, was we had to get there at probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was the 24th person that went up. And yeah. Jimmy Schubert was the 25th person that went up. And we got on stage slightly before midnight. The crowd, wow. The audience had been there from like maybe 5:30. And so they had been there for like 5 hours.
Waiting
for, yeah, and we still went out there and crushed it. Yeah, you know, but it like you don't see that obviously. Yeah. It's shown out of sequence. But yeah. I was 24th and he was 25th.
How about when you went to audition? Like when there was nobody there.
Yeah, there was nobody there. There was just a bunch of executives with big piles of.
Was
like,
at midnight or in the daytime?
It was in the daytime at Universal at John Lovitz Club. And it was really dark in
bad
the room.
Bad club to do it in.
Because it's huge. Yeah. It's such a huge club.
Horrible.
For it to be empty.
Oh yeah. And there's maybe like 15 people in there, but they're all like executives,
eating
you know.
Eating lunch. Eating Starburst.
Yeah. But who you rely on, there's still talent coordinators. There's people. There's PA. They're walking you to. There's people working. And if you made the security guy laugh who stands in post, then you know you did.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Then you know you did well, regardless of what they chose. If you made the people that are there having nothing to do with NBC laugh.
She got talent.
Y'all need to make me an executive.
It's an old white dude. No, not in my mind.
And then they ask you a bunch of questions because it's a reality show. They want a story. You know, so if you got a good set and then you say, I was... You
13
know,
kids.
Yeah, or whatever you could say. Like, I you know, I swam here from Jamaica.
Well, that was... well, you're,
for reals.
But right? You having a story is what helped you move you forward, right?
When I made it that far, I spoke to everybody who got kicked off.
Oh, my God.
I talked to Alonzo Bowden. I talked to Dante, Italian Dante. I spoke to Fluffy. He told me, you know, just be honest of everything, you know. And then I spoke to other people, and I was just honest.
Yeah.
They asked me, if you would not made it through, what you would have done? I said, well, you would have saw me unlock my bike right here. I showed up on a beach cruiser. I didn't give a fuck. And when it goes, you have a bike outside? Yeah. And they filmed me unlocking it, and they filmed me riding my bike, holding the red ticket.
Yeah.
So,
oh, they can see.
And I cried on TV.
Ticket.
What? No.
Did you?
Well, you had your mom on and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, all that stuff added to it.
Yeah.
People love a story.
People love a story.
How thick was the other paper we had to fill out?
God, it was terrible. It was terrible. And then they brought us in, you know, standards and practice. They got to give you all of because it's a reality show, so you can't say it. You got to keep the results of it secret. It doesn't matter what happened. If you get passed or you get moved on to the next round, you got to just keep it inside. You can't say what we do on Facebook. Like, just, you know, you can't do it. And then a comedian did it.
Who?
I can't say who did
it. Who won your season?
Who won my season?
Redman, right? Rodman?
Rodman won it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the hardest part when you were in it, the hardest part was having to submit your jokes, your set ahead of time, and stick to that exact set because you don't stick to your sets. When you write down a set, you stray from it, you know? Like, often you'll write a set and you won't do any of those jokes when you go up there. It just gets your juices flowing.
So some people, they will talk about it's the last minute to change it, too.
Yeah, they had to change a couple of things.
Roy Wills Jr., he couldn't say In-N-Out. Or no, he couldn't say Wendy's.
Wendy's, yeah.
He has to say Fast Burger Joint.
Fast Food Burger Joint.
Just to change any jokes?
I did have to change some jokes, but again, I have been doing it for like 3.5 years. I have very few jokes for them to choose. It's like if they ain't let me say something, then it was like, well, okay, well, I ain't got nothing else for you. So
how far did you go?
I was only a semifinalist.
The top 10?
No, I got eliminated right before they announced the top 10. But I think that my jokes stood out, and I had a shaved head, and I'm 6 feet tall.
I remember that.
Her hair was really short.
Yeah, and so when me and Jimmy, we went on the road together after that, people would come up to me and be like, you won last Comic Standing, right? And I would be like, I either stood out so much or they think I look like Rodman.
It's Rod Lady,
exactly.
I know you're taller than him, though, aren't you?
People are crazy.
I mean, just like by an inch or something. Maybe. Also, I talk nothing like him.
What show did you watch?
Jimmy Schubert was top 6, top 10?
Yeah, he was top. Yeah, he was top 10, but even
he didn't go on tour with them, right?
No.
I think he was number 6 or something. He was like the Fallout Boy.
Yeah, but you guys went on tour together immediately right after, or what happened? How did that go about?
Well, Jimmy, you know, Jimmy is a headline. He's one of those people.
Jimmy, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I got to work right away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But he's one of those people where he's always been on the road. He kills the road, even if you don't. He's maybe not a recognizable face for you on TV, you know? And he asked me to feature for him. And before he asked me to feature for him, I'd never done 25 minutes ever on a show, not on purpose, you know? And then he was like, the money's not that great, but I think that we together would be able to sell out all of these clubs, which we did. And I was able to build.
You jumped on that shit quick, huh?
Yeah, I was smart. Able to build my material.
It's good. It's hard as a woman to get asked to go feature on the road with
people. When I first started, I asked a few people if I could feature for them, and I was either ignored or told no. And I didn't understand it because a lot of times people's features are not good, you know. And I just didn't get it. I swear, I was like, why do you have this person featuring? Oh, you. And I just thought I thought that it was because other people weren't funny and they didn't want to have to follow somebody that was like not just
that's probably part
funny,
of it.
But also hungry. You know, it's this different type of energy when you get on stage and you're hungry for it. But then once I started headlining like a year and a half ago by myself, and I realized it's really lonely. And sometimes you want your friend there, and your friend may not be that great. But your friend, you spend more time, if you're on the road for a weekend, you spend more time off stage and on stage, you know, and your friend,
11
your friend
hours
is there.
Sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think she just broke down every reason why somebody chooses a certain person to be their their opener. Quit it. But I think she just broke down every reason why right there. Don't make that face.
But there's some headliners that don't bring no one.
That's true. They'll just take the local person in town that the club puts
I'm
up.
I'm like that. I'm like that.
You don't mind? You don't do you want to see who they are before you, or what kind of stuff they do before you meet them?
I spoke to a guy that said that he was a big comedian. He goes, what do you do? Oh, man, he sat in that corner of the green room and showed me his back the whole time. He went through his jokes. They didn't speak to me. And then he went up on stage, and that was it.
The whole weekend.
In the corner of the green room with his head down the whole time.
He was the headliner?
He was a feature.
He was the feature.
He was telling about the feature turned his back.
Super famous comic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm sorry. The headliner turned his back.
Oh, yeah, who's the super famous comic?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well.
I remember one time this comedian showed up, George Lopez, And they told all the comedians, the losers,
that were there. Bottom feeders.
I was already outside.
He was working out stuff in a club.
I was already outside, okay, by the way. I wasn't in the green room waiting for nobody. I knew my place and time. Mm-hmm. I was outside.
Yeah, when there's a headliner, don't go hanging out in the green room.
I was over there trying to get some guests, trying to get some FaceTime while he was parking the car. Joe Lopez showed up with his badass Mercedes. And then had the license plate said punch line. And Darren Carter was talking to him, like small talk. He was from Darren Carter, bro.
Yeah, how you doing, George?
Hey, George, yeah, man.
Let me know if you need somebody to start the party.
If you get rid of that white guy you opened up with, you know, I could go too. And basically that. And then Willie Barcena shows up. Hey, bro, stop sucking his dick already, yeah. He's trying to go up on stage, bro. You're there kissing his ass, and you're saying lame jokes. He ain't gonna take your ass, dog. Stop sucking dick. Anyways, so when he.
What's going
on? So I'm standing right there and shit, feeling the hot ass car. And I just say, what's up? He said, what's up? He goes inside. All the losers are inside, by the way, waiting for him to go up on stage and shit with their notepads.
You're going to learn something.
Trying to get new ideas, new premises. Oh, he's talking about his grandma. I have a grandma. He's talking about his sister. I have a sister. You know?
He's so Mexican. All I'm these Mexican.
Losers, right? And I knew they were all going to get kicked out, you know? So he goes in there. He sees everybody. They're all with their red faces and shit. All new comedians. They're all like open micers. And then the manager kicks all those fools out, man. Like, out 10 of them.
Yeah.
Out! And they're standing with me by the car, where they should have been in the beginning. And what happened, bro? Fucking Jordan Lopez is a dick. He kicked us out. Out of where, bro? Out of a comedy club that you didn't pay no ticket to get into. Out of a comedy club that you're not even going up, right? No. All right. Did anybody offer you a drink in there? Did anybody say, hey, man, what's up, Joe? No. You're fucking trespassing, dog.
There is no reason.
Basically, dog, there. You're trespassing, bro. Get the fuck out. I didn't think it's a fuck out, but you're trespassing, bro.
You know, George probably walked in and just saw immediately. Phew, 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 those guys.
Like, he was in there with a six shooter.
Yeah.
Like, you don't remember how many.
I never got mad at that.
All these fools talking shit on Facebook about that?
They're all talking shit on Facebook.
On MySpace.
On MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
They don't get it, right?
They don't get it?
People don't get it sometimes, right? Like, you know what happened to you? You're headlining, you got like 10 open micers showing up to your green room. Hey, I'm the local comedian, going to get a guest spot.
Oh, well, I ain't really at that level yet, but I appreciate you thinking that that's my life.
They'll hit you up at the radio station.
Yeah, they hit me on social media now.
Too, right?
They do, and
my
ask me.
My big cousin right here.
But it's not 10 of them. 10 of them don't show up. But I think that I have a sort of intimidating sort of, I don't know, demeanor if you don't know me at all. And so I think it protects me in a sense.
That's how I feel about Samora. I bet nobody comes to the Samora with bullshit.
Well, you never seen her husband, huh?
Well, he's there all the time, too.
You know who
too,
Wayne is.
I know, he's there all the time, too, but I think herself, like, his I would be afraid to go tell jewelry. Her anything because she would be like, why are you wasting my time with that shit? You know, like, I just don't think. She would just give you a look. She wouldn't need to say anything to you.
Her husband will tell you to hold his watch, and you'll fall down holding his watch.
His pinky ring has a pinky ring.
Oh, I believe it. I know he's always there, but I think she herself, she has a presence.
He has a wedding ring. At the time, it was a diamond ring, but it's actually a television. He watching the whole show.
It's connected to a satellite.
She's very bedazzled.
No, she, that's why she's Miss Chandelier.
She's Miss Chandelier.
Yes, she is Miss Chandelier.
And she's always working, man. I don't give a fuck if she's hosting. She tries out two new jokes every time she goes up to in between. Like, she has it on her I thought she had like the who's going up next, right? But mm-hmm. She already has it in her head. And she goes up on stage before the show starts and walks like where I'm gonna step on. Okay, this floor is creaking. I don't wanna fall right here, so I'll stand over here. All that shit, all that professional shit that I never do. I'm like, sound check, all right, man. Yeah, this monitor right here.
All that professional
shit. Then I go up there, we go up there after this fool, another fool. Jay Lamont spitting on a microphone doing beatboxing. Batteries go off.
Jay Lamont is so good, though. So I love. Good. Oh my God, I love watching him.
Yeah, he opened for Felipe in Vegas last year.
Hang on, let's play a little song right here. There's a little dust on that.
Yeah, like whenever I get to see him live, I'm like, oh, it's such a pleasure.
We're working with him in Lake Tahoe, right? Or Laughlin.
Vegas and Laughlin.
Laughlin. Mm. And he brought some older ladies to party with us. Not party, but hang out. We were eating.
They were like kind of, they weren't his blood family, but they had always treated him like family when he was a kid.
Yeah, so. We thought we were these church ladies, you know. We thought they were just these nice church ladies. One of them actually smoked a blunt with us. And he was surprised.
No, she was talking about doing it. She
was talking about it, doing it. But then she took out her suntan lotion and it had like, whiskey.
It wasn't a suntan lotion. It was a flask, but it was like it looked like a blue suntan lotion, too.
Like a G.
It was made for that. Like, oh my gosh, she had bourbon in it or something.
I can't wait to be that sort of older woman, just have a flask in my purse.
They both had retired and chose to go to Reno.
I'm on my way.
She's going to have a flask on her microphone. Hold on. Get a little shot.
She's going to leave.
You have dates coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I am headlining the Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia, Valentine's Day weekend, February 14th, which is a Thursday night, through Sunday, February 17th. It's six shows in total. So February 14th through the 17th, I'm headlining Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. So come out if you guys are
in Richmond. Awesome.
And you guys can follow me on all social media platforms at Zainab Johnson, Z-A-I-N-A-B Johnson. My website is zainabjohnson.com as well.
What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Thank you very much.
We'll keep going, but you can leave whenever you need to.
Thank you guys for having me. This was great.
Also, if we ever do the live show,
I would love that.
Comedian.
Do a set.
Like a 5-minute set, if you don't mind being on our podcast. We'll probably cut it off, huh? Like last time?
What, not tape the sets? Probably. Just tape the...
Well, I would love that. I would love to come back. I would love to be a part of the live show. Thanks for having me. Glad you go. It was very nice to meet you, Felipe. Thank you so much.
You could be guest co-host.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a tracksuit next time. Just give me a warning. Bye, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Give her some Jimmy Schubert, bro.
You know what I'm saying? She got to take off. You know, she's on the way back to Philly. Little magic tricks. Give me a couple steps, Spider.
Dude, I went to an audition with other black girls, and I was the only Latino there, and the only man there, first of all.
What was it for?
I have no idea. And they were all like supermodel, like her, like a model type, skinny. And I was sitting there going, man, I think I'm auditioning for like the drunk coach that's supposed to be like the cheerleading instructor. Or something.
I'm the wacky janitor. The creepy janitor.
The creepy janitor gets caught. And we get there. They made us do a lot of like improv games. Then I say, I'm out of here.
At the audition?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
And then like there were other women that was all into it, bro.
You're not even getting paid for going through that pain. And I said, no,
I'm not. Sorry, Chris Spencer, I'm out of here.
Chris Spencer, he was there?
Yeah.
Oh, that was something you... Oh, yeah. Okay. Chris was ready for it.
Okay, people, coming up. Show's coming up. Birmingham, Alabama, February 15th through the 17th at the Star Dome. It's a comedy club. Anybody that wants a ticket for that, hit us up. We'll hook you up with a pair.
Yes. Can do that.
Any day of the week.
And we can do that in Raleigh, too.
Also, Raleigh, North Carolina, February 22nd through the 24th at the brand new Improv.
And the way you hit us up is fans, F-A-N-S, at felipesworld.com and ask for tickets. But that's only in a few cities. So Raleigh,
also,
Birmingham,
I'm coming to Miami, Florida, March.
I think Miami will have some tickets.
March 8th through the 10th at the brand new Improv. I'm going to be there all hyped up. I'm working out, man. I'm drinking a lot of water. I'm doing a lot of walking.
You going to show your abs in Miami?
No, man. I'm going to be like that man I saw riding that bicycle, man, with a Speedo. He was walking with a thong, huh?
And a dog.
Oh, yeah. You took a picture of that guy. Yeah. His butt cheek.
Was there a Coconut Grove, man? Yeah. A thong and tan, like Bandit Soleil. Also, I'm going to drink a lot of coffee, bro.
I'm fat in this suit.
Are you drinking a lot of coffee?
Hell yeah.
Like
Cuban coffee.
You like eating their food or you like just like the coffee?
Dude, I love that food, dude. I kind of almost like it a little bit more than Mexican
food. Why do a lot of people say it's bland, bro?
People are crazy, dude.
Do you like... Do you like Tampa better than Miami for the Cuban town, the Cuban areas? Or do you... Which do you like better?
Well...
Ybor City,
I've been to Calle Ocho many times.
You're just looking for porn stars there.
No, but... But that's what the original thing is.
We never seen one.
And we went
I know. He's still looking.
But when we go
went to the van to pull up my
when we go to Calle Ocho, like before, on our way to La Carreta, we see a lot of smaller shops that sell coffee and they sell medianoche, right? Little ones?
Yeah.
Like little shops. But we don't go to those because we know La Carreta. Mm-hmm. But Miami has more options, man. Tampa only has one place, La Corona, that's it.
Yeah, food-wise.
Food-wise, it's Miami, man.
Okay.
But for the historical town, Ybor City? Yeah,
Ybor City.
Keep going, sorry. So, yeah, Miami. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't see no chicks in Calle Ocho, right?
There's never been none of those bang buses or nothing. I don't even think it happens in Miami, dog. Happens in St. Petersburg. Remember that one time we did that like 10-mile walk to La Carreta? Remember when we met that old man who was complaining about Obama because his Viagras went up? Like it's like, dude, you still pipe? You're like 80 years old.
It was a Manzana Ceviche.
Yeah, on the side of the road.
San Angelo, Christ. Texas, March 15 at San Angelo Performing Arts Center. San Angelo, what's up? That place looks like New Orleans.
Wichita,
yeah,
really.
Wichita, Kansas, March 16 at the Orpheum Theater, Wichita. See you there. I think this show is going to sell out, so get your tickets.
Wichita, a lot of people are piping up about it. Yeah, they're coming.
Grand Junction, Colorado. I think we're performing in a train. March 23rd at the Avalon Theater. Get your tickets because people are showing up from all the way from Puebla and places unknown.
Puebla, Mexico or Pueblo, Colorado?
Colorado. Dallas, Texas, March 29th to the 31st, Arlington Improv. Are you ready?
Mama Kiki.
Fuck that fool. He's going to be there. That was an Addison. Keith Manning.
Get off the field. The Patriots won, fool.
Oh, you must be happy.
Oh, my God. We were texting back. You don't even know how this means, Rigo. Dude, my play cuts.
So it feels just like last year, right? And the year before that, right?
He was so happy, bro. He spiked his son.
You know, it's another ring, Lisa.
Emily has a question on YouTube there when the San Jose tickets
Improv coming already, bro.
Coming up in April, but we don't know when the tickets are going on sale. You can call the Improv and ask their box office, hey, when are you putting the Felipe tickets on sale? And that'll kind of, if enough people call, it'll get them to put them on there.
Check out felipesworld.com/tour for all upcoming shows and ticket information.
A lot of shows are added. New markets.
I've been waiting like my whole life, bro.
For what?
My whole life to wear a suit like this.
This is like your third one, though. Oh, but finally with everything?
This is the fucking $6 million man Lee Majors, bro.
It totally
my
is.
My whole fucking life.
$6 million.
Like, I've had fake ones, bro. I had pro wings that were blue that ripped, dog. I never had red tennis shoes. I never wanted to get red ones until I matched everything, bro. I think like the $6 million man, bro. I never met some guy.
Lee Majors, eh?
Get your leg
off. Some guy had the blue one. And somebody said, look at, bro, the $6 million man. Nah, it ain't it. $6 million red, dog. That's the $7 million man. The one time a fool showed up, but he was 100% working, and he got killed. It was a guy with a mustache. He was on a $6 million man episode.
Just one episode?
Yeah, $7
million. Hmm. I don't remember that. I thought I saw all the $6 million man.
You didn't see that one.
I guess I didn't.
Is that what he used to wear, or did he used to wear like a Schneider jumpsuit?
He had several.
Okay.
But I don't know his main.
Cherry skin.
But his main one, it had the logo of the place, right?
It was Adidas, right?
I don't know.
Shoes?
I don't know if it was
Because that fool right there at Eagle Rock Lube always used to call me Lee Majors when I used to wear that little jumpsuit.
Lee Majors is here, Holmes.
Man, you know.
I'm over here on Bumfrobo, though.
What up? How you doing?
I'm here on Bumfrobo and my bubicle. There was some dude told Toby Hicks about the Dope Dealer podcast. Yo, man, I'm over here listening to the Dope Dealer podcast on Bumfrobo on my bubicle at work. This fucking blood is in the office, bro, in the cubicle. But that fool called it bubicle.
Right there typing on his bumputer.
That's so funny.
All his C's are broken.
This fool was saying everything with a B.
Every time he gets fucked up, bro.
I know. When Toby gets drunk, he drops the B's.
It's like an old little black man.
He drops the B words.
Yeah, man, they had a bond tract on me.
How far do you take it? Is it every word in your sentence?
I think every word.
Or just C. Occasionally, like...
No obationally. C's. No C's.
Every
no
obationally.
The Bumpstitution.
Y'all here, acting all brazy.
I'm over here in Bemedicut. I'm here in Bolorado.
That was going to... Raleigh, North Bolo.
Right, North, like what he say? North, I'm going. I'll see you guys in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. No, that's what
he really say? That?
Yeah, dude, that one.
That fool say, I'll see you in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thank man, I'm gonna bot me something.
I have a brother that works in the Brime Lab.
You got bot by the cops. I'm dude. That one night, remember before we had us all laugh? He was all like, I swear to God. Dude, this fool, I was like, I couldn't believe it. You're Bumputer.
Hello, you're Bumputer.
I was like, this fool right
What here. Have you lost?
It's a batch phrase.
Oh, what's funny was when we were stuck in a storm, uh-huh. And he had this girl that he met driving in from another town like 3 hours, and she was going through a storm too. But she already made it to the lobby, and he was all buzzing the back like, oh, man, she already in the... Whatever, she's already there, right? And then he was complaining about some other stuff. And then I did his voice. They're trying to kick her out the lobby.
I went over there and I bought her a Barona. What a line, isn't it? Hey, fool, that fool swear they were going to listen to him. I need to talk to the pilot. And the CEO, they're all servers.
I know, all I heard was him in the background. When Felipe was talking to me, I heard
Felipe was like, Pepsi Bola.
Felipe's like... Felipe's trying to ask me, like, what should we do? And I'm telling him, I rented a car just in case you guys have to drive. And I hear Toby in the back talking to the gate agent. If you was me, what would you do? What decision would you make?
This is a catastrophe.
Because, look, we got to get to Houston by 6 o'clock.
Nobody what was would listening
you
do?
He was like, that's really up to you, sir. You know, I can't tell you what to do. We're waiting on weather. It's like, it's unpredictable.
I got a girl who had a babysitter waiting for me.
It's Baliente in here.
See, I didn't even know why he was worried so much. It was because he had a date hooked up.
No, not only that, but I think on it, whatever, man. But he had a drunk lady with him, too, Mary Lou Redding.
Yeah, because they were over there at the bar in the time. They're getting. She's like, yeah, I don't care. She almost like lit a cigarette right there. I was like, what are you doing, lady? It was hilarious.
But it was funny, but it looked like when Mean Gene Okerlund from WWF was interviewing the Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage on the side talking shit, bro. And let me tell you something. Hold on, brother.
Randy's just like this the whole time, like rubbing his hands.
He was out of control.
Ain't no, that's a bat. That ain't no cat.
He's an alcoholic.
I've seen those movies.
What movies?
Vice, and I
see
about Vice. The Wife.
Vice
is good.
Very
really
informative.
Good.
You want to Google shit out.
Yeah, it was just like, it was a trippy. You kind of like, kind of thought about it a little bit. That one's full ready to go. But dude, homeboy like, but that's what, dude, I didn't even know like, I thought he came from like a political family. Did you see that one part?
Hell no!
When Donald Rumsfeld, that other aide comes up, he's like, hey, I work for the DNC, so I'm going to take the Democrat guy. Mm-hmm. What guy do you want to take? Well, what is he?
Yeah.
He's a Republican. That's what I am.
Yeah.
And think about like how people in America are, how they pick political sides just because they like somebody's personality and shit. And Rumsfeld was like, you think he's all serious? He was just like cracking jokes and grabbing butts.
How about his wife war when they put him straight?
Well, that, I think that's the one that had the back.
When his wife started speaking, bro, everybody was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. I think it was a tripping movie. I thought it was really good, dude. It wasn't what I expected.
But he's a good actor, right?
Oh, dude, come on.
He could nail it, right?
He nailed it nasty, dude.
It's funny how they had, Lisa was surprised they had that movie listed as comedy.
Well, yeah. I was surprised at first, but I mean, I get it. It's
Adam
funny.
McKay, yeah, if you really look at it.
It's funny, but is really like disturbing at the same time because all these facts are crazy. And we always knew this. About
it's crazy when they say, Rumsfeld said, somebody had to take a fall for this, huh?
Well, they thought do you think someone's gonna go to jail? Like, and what's dude? It was a trippy movie. Dude.
How about when?
But he was they're the first. I mean, I think Channing was the first to really start the whole tying marketing into basically having marketing teams and focus groups and stuff like that.
Genius, huh?
Did you see how that?
And then also using
using
lawyers. And I mean, to do the focus group on calling the estate tax a death tax. You know, and Trump said it last night. He said the estate tax, and he cut himself off, and he said death tax, because death tax tugs at the middle America's heartstrings. I don't want my family to have to pay. None of you will have to pay.
Yeah.
Because you don't make enough. You don't have enough assets.
2 million, dude.
It's above. 10 million now. Oh, yeah.
It was at 2. Yeah, that's when they switched in the movie.
They moved it to 10.
Isn't that crazy?
So you saw Vice? And
I haven't seen the one with our Melissa McCarthy yet, but I seen the wife.
How about when
that was a trippy movie.
When
I was frustrated with the wife.
Yeah, why?
Because she never. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was frustrated.
She was leading, right?
I was frustrated because she did, because when she broke down for him and said, "Look, motherfucker, like you're where you are because of my words."
He didn't say I'm a writer.
Right? He didn't even know his characters. Nothing like about? Wife.
The wife.
Okay. I thought you were talking about
Glenn
no.
Cole.
Close. Oh, the wife. Yeah.
Yeah. So she breaks down. You fell asleep.
I thought it was good, dude.
Don't lie.
The wife.
But she breaks down. She breaks down, you know, and when they're having their fight before, you know, whatever happens to him. But she breaks down and she's like, you know, frustrated that he's never recognized her for that and pushed her to the side. And, oh, she doesn't write, you know, and telling everybody that. But then when it came down to it and the biographer wanted to say something about that after he passes
that
away.
Save, huh?
She says, you know,
don't fuck with his legacy.
Don't fuck with his legacy. I'll take it to court. Like she still holds the line for her dead husband.
Do you think the only reason she did it is because he died? And he wouldn't have if he would have died? That's kind of leaves you all like,
I don't know.
I thought Christian Slater was good. And how about and that thing about shit like that is that you're dealing with the kids and the kid wants to be a writer too. And then like, fuck, dude. Like, it was a very bad spot. And just like how he threw the little Nobel Peace Prize out the window. It was crazy, dude.
What else you saw?
I seen The Wife. I didn't see the Melissa McCarthy movie yet.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, this fool was all telling me. But
Vice is good, right?
Oh, yeah. But my thing about Vice was the second time they came around with George W. Bush, because they already got their experience with Nixon and then later with Gerald Ford. But also how they put up the people that they're going to do at the Pentagon, mm-hmm. and how like Bush, he's all hey, brought in Alberto Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. This lady, they're all get him out of the way.
They knew how weak they were.
They knew how to work it, dude.
I like how also
that's why experience matters, fool.
But they're like, it's funny how when everybody from Nixon's organization was done, right? Anybody behind him was done, and those fools were already out, Rumsfeld and Cheney. So when they came in after he left, after new fresh blood that was pretty much clean.
Yeah.
And they got behind Ford, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
What?
And they got behind Ford? Or
no,
Reagan?
They were already there, but Ford was his VP, right?
Yeah.
So he came into power, and then those fools convinced him to get rid of Kissinger. Get your ass out of here. And got those fools. I mean, that takes like very like calculated, didactic people to do that shit. Yeah. And I mean, you might not like Cheney, but I understand what he's doing and like how...
They make it look
if you don't like him, you have to realize how brilliantly conniving and manipulative he was. He accomplished everything he wanted to. And the legacy of it, it's continuing to frustrate us every day.
Did you see how Scooter Libby was working for him? And he's the one that leaked it. And over that
the Antonin Scalia connection was my biggest surprise. I didn't know that he knew them way back when.
And it was even before Reagan appointed him.
With a
I had no idea before the whole Bush thing ends up in the Supreme Court's hands, Bush Gore thing. I had no idea that Scalia had connection, and I bet a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, and
that's a conflict of interest. Yeah, that's a conflict of interest.
And how powerful these think tanks are, and who pours money into them?
It's a baffling of interest.
But
he's
man,
baffling.
He's still alive, right? Too.
Yeah. After all this,
what's up with that heart that he got though? Like he was a distant cousin. That little the guy that you guys call the fat Matt Damon that was
fat
in that
Damon.
Movie.
Yeah. Oh, no, he wasn't a distant cousin, was he?
Well, it said something like he was a distant cousin, like when he was in war, before he went in war, because he actually went in war. But I tripped out. They never really said
how he got
the heart.
I didn't think he was a cousin. I thought he was just he got the heart because that guy died.
Okay. Because I'll try to go back and watch it again. Yeah. It said, I'm a distant third cousin.
Oh, because I thought he said, we're connected, but I'll tell you how. And I thought they were only connected because his heart was in Dick. Okay. Yeah. That's how I didn't get that they were cousins.
And the other thing too is like how he parlayed a job for his daughter in the Pentagon, and then later in Congress, and how
she's still there.
How they flipped the thing of the daughter. You know, she's obviously a lesbian or whatnot, and then they she held her stance on TV and became a congresswoman. Yeah, I didn't even know he was in Congress.
But she wasn't holding her stance. She was she was lying. She was choosing the other side just so she can get up there.
Yeah.
And you get didn't mad because I heard you about the Trump.
What did you guys think about the State of the Union? You guys watch it yesterday?
Yeah.
Good comedy show, huh? Killed
That's crazy, man. I'm always cringe at every State of the Union. It doesn't matter who's in power.
I was your ball when they call
somebody.
I hate
when people just kiss ass and he stand up killed. After every single thing.
I was your ball when they call somebody in. His family was killed by an illegal alien.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I hate when they drive all that
but
stuff
they're like,
out.
But then, the real people are asking, well, how many illegal aliens shot up a school?
He didn't bring any of the shooters. He did bring up that Pittsburgh shooting, though, and the survivor.
Right,
he
because
was
he
dark.
Had the survivor there. He was a police officer, right? Or was he an EMT? No, he
one
was a
stopped
officer.
It, and then the old man, survived. But one thing that was crazy, too, is, I heard a comment. He looked very presidential. I was like, bitch, he's a president. It came from Badoo, though.
Yeah, I just – I hate the State of the Union. I don't know if – I feel like
it looked like a pep rally. All that
that's what everybody was saying. Like there wasn't much substance. It was kind of like a campaign stop. Is what it felt like.
And he's gonna fight AIDS and it's gonna be done in eliminated in 10 years. Like I don't know.
You could fight AIDS with a sword.
AIDS is already pretty. It's not over, of course, but we have a lot of, almost a cure basically for all purposes. We're close already.
Too many claps and my hand was hurting.
It annoys me, the standing up and clapping. It's just like, even people who don't like him, you stand up and do it.
Pelosi.
Because wasn't the State of the Union, wasn't that originally just a letter to Congress?
It was,
to outline
it was
what
always
wanted?
In writing until Woodrow Wilson.
And people act like it's I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It is funny.
But it's weird.
What's up?
Love ceremony.
Boo! Rodrigo Toro, you got shows coming up?
No, I don't. But Riverside, we're working on a new room in downtown Riverside, so I'll let you guys know ASAP and check out the Yeah Man podcast.
So how close are we to that Netflix special?
Still working it out, but we're going to have one filmed this year. We don't know where. We don't know when.
Be it English or Spanish?
English, one. And then another one in Spanish.
What's up, man?
Same material, different language.
Right now, if you're watching me right now or listening to me on the What's Up Fool podcast, let me know if you would pay to watch me do a 100% Spanish special, 1 hour, and then watch the same special 100% in English the next day. So we're thinking about doing a special in Spanish, two shows. In Spanish, and then 1 hour every night. And then the second show will be in...
The second day.
The second day will be in English. Two shows. So it'll be one show you could take your family with. You could take your mom, take your uncles, take anybody who speaks Spanish who you want to do... make them watch it. who want to watch my stand-up special being taped. And the next day, it's going to be for the big dogs, all in English, exclusively all in English. All in English. And the day of the special, we're going to probably have it all in Spanish, like completely in Spanish, where everybody is going to be speaking Spanish through the show, the director, everybody, other directions will be in Spanish. So we're going to hopefully at least like direct that one for the Spanish, somebody in Spanish, you know?
I don't know.
I was thinking you could direct it with whoever gets to direct.
I need a live show director. I don't think I'm ready for that to coordinate cameras and stuff. I don't think I'm ready.
I'm better too soon, bro.
I directed a couple of shows. I directed the closing show.
You could do the Spanish.
The last special.
Come up with a 10-minute Spanish.
I'm down for whatever. You know me, dog.
How you say black, widow in Spanish? Viuda. Una araña viuda.
Viuda?
I don't know, man.
Mi esposo está muerto.
What's up,
fool?
We're ready for another special. I'm ready for another special. I went to the Comedy Store last week, bro.
How was it, fool?
I saw Natasha Leggero. I saw Anthony Jeselnik. Some girl named Sean Day Breenstein.
I heard of her. Continue. In Rochester.
I don't know who that is.
I didn't see Joe Diaz, though, but he called me the next day.
He left right after his set, huh?
Took off. Don't have time.
I ain't got no more, bro. You know what I'm saying?
What's up, fool? We might have an Angel Esparza cameo on a special.
Somebody just said something about, is he going to be coming in the next caravan?
I just... Angel's actually, I'm selling What's Up Fool hoodies to the caravan people.
I know. We sent him a couple of hoodies. I bet he did sell them.
Were you tired after this weekend?
A little bit.
Yeah, you were, because you went to bed at like 10 the first night, and I think you went to bed. You were asking at 9:45 if I'd hate you if you went to bed already, and I think you went to bed about 10.
Well, I slept, man, from 9:45 all the way to 8 in the morning, dog.
Like clean?
Out. Yeah. No edibles, nothing.
Your body needs that rest, man. I pass out nasty on Monday, dude.
Took Squishy for walks every night.
How's she doing?
Good.
That's good.
What, dog?
Let's wrap it up.
What's up, fool? Yeah, I had something. Hold on.
What, fool? Right here.
Should we call Flacco and check on him?
Yeah, check up on him.
We call him right now?
Go ahead.
Okay, let me call him.
Oh, we didn't get to take a picture with Zayna.
I took a picture when she was talking.
Okay, send me that. Okay. Did you take a picture with her?
No.
Damn it.
She was really, really, really cool, man.
She's been in the game, right? Wow, man. 13 kids, bro.
About 9 years.
That'd be a funny-ass joke if she were doing a Latino room, like Latino night. So, yeah, I come from a 13 family. Yeah, so I'm a Sureña. No? Nobody will get it.
You try it.
Get staff for that joke.
Your family seven?
Seven kids, yeah.
Your mom's family, how big is hers?
Well, I don't even know.
Your dad either?
I don't even know.
You would have been nine, though. Your mom had two had twins that were stillborn.
Yeah, stillborn.
So that was in between Fernando and...
In between Angel and me.
Angel and you.
No, after Angel, oh, because Fernando was 2 years younger. So mama got pregnant right after losing those kids. Ah. They didn't fuck around, man, when they have cable. Did I call?
Called, huh?
We didn't have cable. I guess it does get boring. Then she's probably like doing housework and like, I better get out of here.
I walked in with mom and dad, bro. It was horrible, bro.
My mom made me laugh one day. She's like, can I get this fool off?
Yeah, get out of here.
Everybody, we'll call you Flacco.
Go read a book.
Oh my God, dude.
Okay, he ain't picking up.
Yeah, I went over there.
The hospital, or hospital? He's at his house?
Not at the hospital. They were taking his catheter.
Catheter?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Well, so you can go to the restroom.
Goes into your bladder.
Oh, my God.
Urethra.
Just shoot me when you're prepared to wear one of those, man.
I guess they drug you when they put it in, not only pull it out, huh?
So it's in your pee-pee or what?
Yeah.
In the hole?
It's in the urethra.
All the way inside?
Yeah.
So everything can, you know, come out of there.
For what?
Because when you're sleeping for a long time or in surgery and then recovering, Or maybe on some drugs, you don't have control of your bladder. So you'll just pee all over yourself. So they do this. And sometimes they want to monitor how much urine you're producing so they can see. I had a catheter with my last surgery. I didn't even know it. And then she was like, oh, we're going to take the catheter out. I was like, what? When I was asleep. I don't even remember it.
Nurse jobs.
But I told you that one time when I was a nurse's assistant in the home for older people, that one guy with brain cancer, he had a permanent catheter in that we had to change like every couple days.
Just plug into it?
Yeah, but he got so frustrated with it. He was in pain constantly because he had brain cancer. And he was dying. And he yanked it out one time with the bulb inflated. It just went right through the urethra with the bulb fully inflated. There was blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And I had to go get the nurse, and it was a male nurse on staff that night. He almost fainted when he saw it. He knew what had happened, and he was imagining the pain of it.
Ugh. That cancer pain ain't no joke. I remember my grandfather, morphine didn't even work for him.
Yeah.
You're still moaning.
This guy, every second of every day, he just said, God help me. Jesus help me. God help me. Damn. Jesus help me. It was so sad. It was so sad.
Damn.
Brutal, man.
It was sad. He wanted to die.
Nobody's picking up today, huh, fool? Bad day to crank call.
Who did that? Who was that?
Telling everybody, Angel.
Lee Sanfield, dog.
What time is it?
That fool doing over there right now, dog.
Folding clothes.
You sure you got a card game going on right now or something?
He's over there folding blows. What's up, Fool Podcast? Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Thank you, everybody, who showed up to Coachella. We had an awesome time, man. Joey Rogan going over there to pick up food. They tell him we don't have it, but we don't fight for our food.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but it's like, dude, it's like I'm over here with the dead is basically dead right here. Like, he's hung up like that. It's like, dude, come on, man. I was all bummed out about that shit, dude. I hate when the shit doesn't go as planned.
And then, like, there's no food, dog, so they didn't give you a receipt. You didn't have for the money,
man. Yeah, nothing. It's like, dude, how could they give it to somebody? It's like, anyhow. It's retarded, dog. But, hey, man, that's what took place.
But you just walk up to him, take the car away, and that's that.
You get that full of vitamins.
What happened, bro? Oh, so we happened to Christina bar the car. So what do you say? You just say in front of the casino.
He gave it to us.
I needed my car. It's an emergency.
So, you know? I gave it to him.
Commandeered.
It's a flood, so. I was driving behind some truck, bro. We were in the freeway. I said, listen, man.
I knew you guys.
I said, someone here, you know, man, you know you're driving 40, right? You got to change lanes, motherfucker.
Fucking hazard, dude. Dude, you killed me when you said, got this fool over here. You ain't going to fall asleep behind the wheel, hot dog.
I know, he looks like he's sleepy all the time. I was afraid. I was like, you let him drive?
Vinny was like, dude, what's wrong with that fool? Get him some vitamins, dog.
I know, he looks like this all the time, like he's going to die.
His hair looks like there's a ghost carrying him by the hair everywhere. Who the fuck is Johnny Rocket with his fucking tube hair? Looking like Toby from The Office. Remember he said that? I didn't mean
it. That was funny, dude.
Every time I see Toby now, he looks like
that. We were watching clips from The Office. Hey, you guys see that one with Toby, like, try to kiss? Is it he tried to kiss Pam and then he ran and jumped over the
fence? No, he touches her leg.
Yeah, okay, I remember.
And then he realizes, everybody sees him and everybody's shocked and then he realizes what he's done and then
there's an episode where he comes back, huh?
Yeah. He comes back after like a year in Costa Rica.
Toby.
Ready to go? I gotta wrap it up.
Hell yeah, man. It was fun, man, over there. I slept good, though, after the show on Saturday.
Dude, I passed out on Sunday. Nasty, fool.
I was starving. No, I wasn't starving. Were you starving?
I was hungry, dog.
Shout out to Dan Frank Comedy, Godzilla, Kukula Kamramuire, Fantoma 69, Francisco de Jesus, Emery Bracamonte, Germ Does, Josh Sanchez, Danny, just mentioned that fool. I saw that fool at the comedy store. That fool wrote me a long ass letter, but I deleted that shit before I could read it.
Oh my.
And got time to read long messages. Like, Omar Gonzalez, Francisco de Jesus.
He's in Albuquerque.
Follow me, Footsteps Vlogs. I saw that fool that gave me that blood, bro, at the comedy store.
Danny Frank,
bro. That fool went to the Chicago the next day and did a spot at the Laugh Factory or Zany somewhere. I said, you're not going to make it. And that fool didn't make it, bro. It was fucking colder than Antarctica.
Dude. Freezing right
What's
now.
Up, fool? Young Danger. Yeah, Omar Gonzalez. Wildcard Show Podcast. What's up, fool?